Welcome to the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. Here are your hosts, Blake, Tyler, and Rob.
Hello and welcome in from where we are to where you are. This is the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. Appreciate you joining us. As always, I'm your host, Blake, joined by Tyler and Rob. How's it going, guys? What is this, week 10, right?
You had it until you forgot what week it was. You fucking nailed it until then.
That was part of the thing. Yeah, it was good. Yes, and it is week 10, yes. Nailed it, see? How are we doing?
I'm doing good.
Terrible.
All right. Got a, you know, me coming off another disappointing loss this week. Going to go into our normal podcast schedule here. We got some injuries that we're going to talk about in the NFL. Then we're going to hit a new edition of Blake's Over Under, go into transactions in our league, and then break down the matchups this week. Did I get it all? Yep. Do I feel good?
You feel good? Yeah.
Yeah. First time I'm recording a podcast in Iowa in all season long, I think.
Right? I'm not used to seeing the undone ceiling and the...
That's not true. You recorded the draft podcast from Iowa.
Okay.
From you're his... Right.
Yeah,
from
because we learned what Rob loves.
I love the two-hole.
It's also true.
Yeah. So just before warned there, fair listeners, you may hear my dog barking in the background. I'm not sure how well this microphone picks her up. I know my gaming headphones pick her up like crystal clear no matter where she is in the house.
We'll find out.
So, all right, guys, let's get into some news and notes, mainly injuries. I feel like that bumper is almost too grandiose when we're going in to talk about disappointing injuries in football.
Right? Oh, sorry. I'll use the other one this week.
Knock, knock. Who's there? The news.
There you go.
All right. So let's see. I don't have an order for these. So let's hit quarterbacks first. Talk about Josh Allen because it's more chronological.
Sure.
Took a shot on his throwing arm towards the end of that game against the Jets, and coming out of there with an injury to the elbow. Coach says that he is day to day with an elbow injury, likely to play this week, but we're not sure.
No, actually it's the other way. Unlikely to play this week. Yeah. If this were a baseball injury, he'd be shut down for more than a month, but just because of the mechanics of throwing a football versus throwing a baseball, it's not as bad for a quarterback. But yeah, this is going to be something he deals with the rest of the year. And you just got to hope that, with that UCL that, you have to hope it's not partially torn, because if it is partially torn and it's starting to fray, at some point it's going to snap and it's going to require Tommy John surgery. But yeah, I mean, if it's just strained, fine. And it's going to be pain management and you're going to have to see, but yeah, unlikely to play this week.
Mm.
Yeah, that's good news to me.
Yeah, it's like Tyler said, it's more, it's not a normal football injury. It's real rare. It's more of a baseball thing. And like you said, that's, they normally shut you down. Of course, the motion's different. You know, it's a different hand motion, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much more stress on your arm to throw a baseball than it is to throw a football.
Right. Man. Not what you want to have if you're not only have Josh Allen, but if you're the Bills in real football, you know, they've been just storming through people up until this Jets game.
Yeah. It'd be really a real shame if you traded, you know, all you could to get Josh Allen on your fantasy football team. And then the first week you play and this happens. I said that also is a teaser for this week's over under. So another quarterback, I saw this pop up today, Matt Stafford in the concussion protocol.
Yeah. I guess that's going to depend what day he entered the protocol on how soon he can get out. But yeah, I mean, it's not like that offense has been tearing it up. They've been struggling. Unless you have Cooper Kupp, there's nobody you want from that offense. As a matter of fact, Cam Akers got dropped today, finally.
I mean, with Stafford, you got to imagine that this was self-reported symptoms on like a Tuesday, right?
Yeah, I would think so, yes, because that's when it came out.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that changes his projection of whether he plays a little bit, but not a ton, because obviously they didn't catch it during the game. So, right. You know, we'll see.
Running backs, I don't have an injury designation for either of these guys. Didn't have a lot of time to prep today, but I know Aaron Jones went down during last week's game. I want to talk about him. I know his x-rays came back, you know, negative for serious injury, but positive news for, you know, him playing football. And he's, I don't know, most likely going to play this week. I'm not sure how that's going to shake out.
Yeah, he probably will. He doesn't have any structural damage. That doesn't mean he can't re-injure at any time. So he's an iffy proposition. But to be fair, that whole team's an iffy proposition right now. So they're playing the Cowboys, which is a good defense. So
yeah, also to hit on the Packers, we'll talk about it again in, you know, transactions, but. Romeo Dubs, high ankle sprain, out 4 to 6 weeks. And also yeah. Christian Watson. Was it this week that he got the concussion, or was that last week?
Last, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. I think he's just questionable this week. But yeah, they got a lot of problems.
Yeah, issues galore playing against Dallas this week. Don't start your Packers. The other running back I want to talk about is Jonathan Taylor. I guess I'll leave that one to you, Tyler, because I assume as a Jonathan Taylor owner, you probably know more than I do. But what the hell is going on?
I mean, the Colts are a special brand of shit show right now.
They're yes. Yes.
And so, I mean, okay, you fire your OC, you fire your head coach. It sounds like the mandate came down from Ursay to play the kid, yes. Ellinger. And clearly that hasn't been, I mean, it hasn't been winning football, but it's been, I don't know, better to watch than Matt Ryan falling down and just losing the football 40 yards backwards every time. But yeah, I mean, so Jeff Saturday is going to come in with no NFL head coaching experience and try to lead this team. And we'll see. I don't know what to say other than that. So
yeah,
we'll see. I mean, the biggest question mark I have with Jonathan Taylor is how long does this go before they shut down their most prized asset? If he is still hurt, or if he's still battling injury. I mean, this is one where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, either way, as far as either trading him or trading him away, you could be right either way. And it could be a league changing, league winning thing either way. If you trade him away or if you trade for him, and we have no idea which one it's going to be.
Yeah. The team's sort of in disarray. I believe this is just me talking. I believe this is their way of soft tanking. You're going to have a coach with no experience. You're going to put in this quarterback he does not belong on an NFL field. And then you put, now you're passing game coordinator who's 30 years old is going to be your offensive play caller. It's not a recipe for good things. And it's a special kind of terrible. So yeah, the Colts may not win another game the rest of the year.
Yeah. But Rob, do you know how to make sausage?
You grind up the meat.
Cause I know for a fact that Jim Irsay knows how to build a football team.
Okay.
According to him.
Cause he knows how to make sausage.
No, he doesn't know how to make sausage or rocket science, according to himself.
Well, he is making sausage. He's taking and he's grinding up his team and sticking it in a pig intestine, twisting it up and letting it sit there on the shelf. And he hopes he's going to have something next year, maybe.
When it ages. May or may not cure. We'll see.
Right. Or it may just split open and fall off the floor.
Breaking news.
Wow. All right, so I'm kind of stretching the limits of breaking news here because we just haven't used that bumper all year. Darren Waller.
We do record our podcast at a time that is not conducive for breaking news.
Darren Waller, who hasn't played since week 5, this is a direct quote. He has a hamstring injury.
Right.
Direct quote from Darren Waller. I mean, with a hamstring injury, you really can't run. It's not much you can really do. You got to make sure that you're 100% before you go out there. I'm implementing myself back into practice, but if I know I'm not going to be effective when I go out there and run, and you run five plays and it's right back to square one, it's just not smart. And I don't think it's really serving the team as far as longevity for the season, because I want to be able to go out there and be available consistently. That's what I'm trying to focus on right now. So that's no bueno. It's not what you want.
No,
for a guy that hasn't played in a month plus.
Well, and here's his coach. Here's a quote from him. Hopefully we'll take another step forward. McDaniel says it's very difficult to predict these things.
So if
you put the two of those together, that says maybe in a month.
Yeah. I'll double down on the breaking news here, or the pseudo breaking news, just so I can justify the bumper. Did you guys see the latest out of DC with the commies?
No.
So DC Attorney General Carl A. Racine scheduled a news conference tomorrow with a major announcement related to the Commanders.
Yeah.
And the Commanders spokesperson just issued this press announcement. Less than 3 months ago, a 23-year-old player on our team was shot multiple times in broad daylight. Despite the out-of-control violent crime in D.C., today the Washington Commanders learned for the first time on Twitter that the D.C. Attorney General will be holding a press conference to make a major announcement related to the organization tomorrow. The Commanders have fully cooperated with the AG's investigation for nearly a year. As recently as Monday, a lawyer for the team met with the AG, who did not suggest at the time that he intended to take any action, and in fact revealed fundamental misunderstandings and underlying facts. It is unfortunate that in his final days in office, Mr. Racine appears more interested in making splashy headlines based on offbeat legal theories rather than doing the hard work of making our streets safe for our citizens, including bringing to justice the people who shot one of our players. Washington is scared. They are trembling right now, because that's the only reason you put out something like that.
Team move.
That place is just run by a bunch of buffoons, that's for sure.
Give me the West Virginia Commanders.
I mean, look, it might actually be better for Dallas if Dan Snyder sticks around, but that's neither here nor there.
Okay. Let's go back to our injuries here. We'll talk about the one tight end I have on here, since you mentioned Darren Waller. Mark Andrews didn't play Monday Night Football.
Right.
I don't remember what his injury is, if I'm being totally honest, but I know Isaiah Likely looked really good Monday night. He was, I mean, the leading receiver for a team that didn't pass all that often, but
yeah, I mean, looked really good as in one catch for 21 yards and a touchdown.
Well, yeah. He looked good on that one catch. He looked also good the week before.
He could have had another long one along the sideline had he not been overthrown or underthrown or whatever it was. It would have been accurate. He was open. So yeah, he'll be fine in that offense. Who knows what's up with Andrews? I don't.
That's what I asked you.
Yeah, I don't know. I would assume that he will try to practice and play this week. I would put it 50-50 that he plays and doesn't. So if you own him, you're just waiting till Saturday probably to see what the reports are and if he practices at all during the week.
Michael Thomas, I don't know when this, I don't remember when this news broke, but he is officially out for the season, ended up having surgery, which he probably should have had 2 years ago.
That was last week.
Was that?
I think it was Thursday or Friday of last week.
Well,
it would have been after the podcast.
Okay, then we'll talk about it. I mean, so he had the surgery, then he had complications from the surgery. And
right.
No, he tried to do without surgery, even though the team recommended surgery. Finally first, had yes. surgery right before last season, set him back the whole season, then had complications from it. I mean, this is like worst case scenario by far. We saw the first 3 weeks of the season that he was old Michael Thomas again. I mean, I believe in PPR, he was like 20 and then 16 points. It's just a matter of being on the field, and he's going to be 30 the next time that he steps foot on a football field.
Right. That's why I think he's done. Yeah. You don't get better at 30.
Keenan Allen.
Another guy who's might be done.
Yeah. Hamstring situation here as well, if I am not mistaken. He's been day to day for what, 2 months now?
Yeah. Here's a guy they should have put on IR.
Yeah. I mean, you're seeing teams try to adapt to the new IR rules, right? Where they're like, well, do we, don't we, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, especially with these hamstrings, I think the worst part of it is if, isn't it if you can't go on IR twice, right? Because then you're shut down for the season.
Correct.
And
second time you go, yes.
Yeah. Yes. And if they activate you from IR and you don't play during the 21 day window, then you're done for the season as well. Correct. So it's one of those where, again, if the hamstring flares up and you go back to square one, like Darren Waller said, then it's the season gone if you put him on IR right away. So, yeah, I don't know what to do with this.
Keep him in your IR slot, I guess.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, it's a bad situation, especially for owners. You just got to sit and hang on to him, I guess, and have him be in queue all week until Saturday when he turns to O, and then get rid of him. Put him in your IR slot if you've got one.
Alrighty. Anything else we want to talk about NFL wide before we move into our over under this week?
Let's do it.
Hello. Do you want to play a game?
Alrighty, so I realized at the last second I did not prep my spreadsheet for this. I just typed it in my notes. So let's see if we can cobble this thing together. All right. So this week's over-under is titled, Help Me, I'm Dying. And it's referenced to Only Me because I happen to have four receivers that were on bye last week. Two are rookies, one's been underperforming. They're all three coming off by, and I just need some help here. Because they've been not great going into the bye, except one of them was. But so first off, I'm going to start off here with George Pickens. Like I said, I don't have his recent stats pulled up because I didn't write them down. But before the bye, I think he had zero catches on three targets. And then I think it was four out of the last five games before that, he had at least six catches.
I'm so glad we added a brand new segment for Blake not to prepare for.
No, I prepared partway, Tyler.
No, you're correct. Three out of the prior four, he had at least six targets, six receptions. And then, yeah, against Philly, he had three for Zipperuskis.
Yes. So my question for you today is, coming out of the bye, over under four catches.
I'm gonna go over. New Orleans is good against wide receivers, but Pittsburgh's gonna be down in that game, so they're gonna have to throw. And Diontae Johnson is the one that they're gonna try to take away. So give me the over.
Yeah, I'll take the over too. Philly's kind of a special case because their secondary is really good. And if he went up against Darius Slay at all, I mean, he wasn't going to get a catch. So, I'd go over four.
Okay. Next up, I have Wandale Robinson coming off the bye as well with the Giants here. They are playing against Houston this week. Last 3 weeks coming off an injury before the bye, Wandale was 3 for 37, 6 for 50, and 2 for 15 with a touchdown in that first week back. Over under 40.5 yards this week.
I'm going under.
Yeah, I'm going under, and it's easy. Houston has actually been like one of the top five defenses against quarterbacks and receivers. But the reason for that is that running backs can't be stopped against them.
Yeah.
So
this, you have Barkley.
Saquon could have a mix-in game from last week, like 200 scrimmage yards, three touchdowns, and that's all the Giants are going to have to do.
All right, and this last one is Depression City for me right now after a trade I made with Rob here. Cortland Sutton. Broncos are coming off the bye at Tennessee. The last 3 weeks, Sutton has scored 3 points, 5 points, and 2 points. Does Sutton score over under 3.5 points this week?
Oh,
okay. I mean, this. So I thought the line was going to be to Sutton to score double digits.
No,
I thought that was going to be much, much closer.
We're torpedoed here.
Yeah, I mean, this is an easy over for me.
Yeah, I think he gets real close to double digits here against Tennessee. You know, one of those games was without his normal quarterback. So, yeah, I think he gets like 12, 14, somewhere in that ballpark.
Oh, boy. I'd kiss you both on the mouth if that happens. I am I'm for sure in the camp of 3 points is probably my max this week out of Sutton. Don't worry, he's in my lineup.
Solid.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee is bad against receivers, so.
Didn't the Tennessee Chiefs game hit the under Sunday night?
Probably,
I think Kansas City only scored like 17 points.
Yeah, but they still gave up quite a bit against, let's see, where they still gave up 47 points to the receivers total, which is like 15 points above NFL average.
They don't give a lot to the rush to the running backs, which they didn't. And Denver's running backs are less than to be desired anyway. So,
yep, there's going to be a lot of running through the air.
Yeah, and Russell's little injuries I assumed have healed now from the bye week, and you'd like to believe that they're going to put their best foot forward here. So I do like Sutton this week.
In general, I am a big supporter of playing your players that coming out of a bye. It's just part of the reason also why I did this, pick this group. But I don't – Sutton and Denver is such a hard knocks right now. It is. All right. Let's go into our transactions then. I noticed I did that.
Pouring a bottle of wine.
As Tyler's pouring a full bottle of wine into his cup.
Yep.
This shit's unbelievable. I checked the accounts receivable. It's inconceivable to think that you would fuck with me on the brink of my transactions.
All right, so as always, we're going to go from the bottom up here on the free agent offers report. But actually, before we go into that, we did have one trade that occurred between our podcast segments. It was a one-for-one, like I mentioned earlier. I traded Gabe Davis straight up for Romeo Doubs to Rob.
Yeah, I mean, this is an oopsie all around at this point. Gabe Davis is a product of Josh Allen. If Case Keenum comes in, ouch town. Romeo Doubs is now hurt and may not be fantasy relevant for the rest of the regular season. So, hooray! Good job, everyone.
Yeah, super sad. First play that Doubs got the pass.
That wasn't the trade.
Wasn't it?
No, it was Drake London for Doubs.
Oh, yeah. Gabe Davis was the one before.
Gabe Davis was for Cortland Sutton.
For Sutton, yes. Yeah, this was Doubs for Drake London. That's right.
Yeah,
I mean, so then at this point, Drake London is the easy win there. Yep. And you just hope.
Because he's actually playing.
Either way.
Either way, it ain't great.
Exactly. Fantastic. All righty. So our waivers ran. We have Josh Reynolds being added to the Hedgehogs for $0, dropping Robbie Anderson.
Yeah. Robbie Anderson, as of right now, after the trade, currently has less yards than he had before the trade. With Arizona, he has one catch for -4 yards.
Oh, wow. Sony Michel added to the Wieners, Corn Wieners, for $0. Cole Kmet being added to Testicle T, dropping DeSean Jackson. I mean, basically at that point, you're chasing points and filling what was basically an empty roster spot.
So this one's tough. And I picked up Cole Kmet in another league because it looks to me, you know, we've talked for a couple of weeks now, 3 weeks now, how Chicago is adapting to the Baltimore offense and is picking up a lot of those concepts. Last week looked like how the Ravens use Mark Andrews with Cole Kmet. with 6 targets, 5 for 41 and 2. Yeah, you're chasing the points a little bit when it comes to the touchdown, but this is a speculative ad I can get behind.
Right. Mostly that was a dig against having DeSean Jackson rostered.
With Bateman, being out for the year, it's worth a flyer to at least see. And look, DeSean Jackson had the one catch, looked great, and then fucked up his hamstring again. So,
yep. I want to know. I fully support DeSean Jackson staying in the league just to see how many different teams he can hurt a hamstring on.
Right. At this point, he's so old. If he runs full speed, he has a soft tissue injury. So he should just retire. I was actually looking at picking up Komet myself, but I didn't want to waste the roster spot. So I didn't. But yeah, good pickup.
All right. Jalen Warren added to Fly Eagles Fly for $1.
Yeah, it's officially cuffing season, folks. You can ask your girlfriend what that means, but for this purpose, it means it's time to get your handcuffs, especially as we reach the playoff stretch. And Jalen Warren has looked better than Najee Harris this year. Now, that's not saying that in a full workload that he's going to do better than Najee. In fact, I don't know that he would, but it could certainly be somebody you could flex.
DeAndre Carter added for $3 to the Shakas. Kind of a dart throw there with Keenan Allen, unsure what's going on with him.
Yeah, DeAndre Carter, primarily a slot guy, and 5 for 53 last week. And, if Keenan Allen remains sidelined, then he could be a flex option.
Especially since he returns their kicks, too. So, you always got a shot at that.
Jared Goff added to the backdoor hot snakes for $3 in light of the Josh Allen news, which kill me now, kill me faster, kill me yesterday.
I mean, the good part is that I wonder what the over-under is for that. That Chicago-Detroit game. I got to think they're hitting 50, right? Because both of these offenses are clicking. Both these defenses are bad. I'll pull that up.
I mean, Detroit's defense has been a little bit better the last 2-3 weeks. Or just the Packers are really terrible. But Chicago has been so much better on offense. I think they're going to both score a lot of points.
And then finally for $4, the Tennessee Titans defense added to the Shakas, dropping the Niners defense.
By the way, Detroit, Chicago current over under is 48.5. I will be hammering that, which advise everybody to not do that because I'm going to lose. No, Titans, I think we're a good pickup this week against Denver, who has been top 10 matchup for defenses. Like we said, they give up a bit through the air, but this could be a slog of a game, complete opposite really of the Detroit Chicago game, where it could be, Derrick Henry just is the entire offense, especially if Malik Willis starts another week. And then Denver might not be able to move the ball at all. So we could see, this could definitely be a 10-7 game, something like that.
Right.
Yeah. Way to totally contradict yourself when talking about the Cortland Sutton.
Oh,
well, no.
Well, that doesn't mean he can't get 12 points.
Right. Fantasy is a game of probabilities. And you asked about two different probabilities here. You asked about the probability of the Titans being a good defense, which I think is high. And you asked about the probability of Cortland Sutton being above 3.5 points, which I also think is high.
Yeah, but you guys are both saying he's probably going to get double digits, which I disagree.
Yeah, but double digits is 5 for 50. That's not saying that it's going to be a high-scoring game.
That would be his best week in over a month.
Correct.
Yeah. There's been reasons for that, though.
Yeah.
I'm turning into Raw with my team. I have no faith in it. I hate it. Nothing is right. That's all we got for transactions this week. The Reapers were unsuccessful in getting the Titans. T was unsuccessful in getting Jared Goff and also unsuccessful in getting DeAndre Carter. And that's all we got. So let's go into the matchups.
Boot.
Go Bulldogs!
Yeah, Bulldogs! Wow.
Not so fast!
Yeah. And this edition of the matchups are brought to you by Back Alley Barbecue. Rob, why don't you tell us about Back Alley Barbecue?
Well, Back Alley Barbecue, they've been a sponsor here before. That's barbecue in the back alley. I mean, we get your rodents, we get your dead pigeons, whatever you can bring. We grill it in the back alley. Barbecue sauce is whatever we've got that's been sitting in the dumpster for at least a week. Back Alley Barbecue, the temperature might not be good, but the meat sure is.
And we promise no longer to use. We have heard from Back Alley Barbecue. They've heard the feedback that they are no longer going to use plastic shopping carts to grill the food. They're going strictly metal now. They didn't feel that the plastic flavor added much.
Yeah, plus they kept having to replace the grill. You know, after a couple of times, you know, it kind of warped a little bit this way. Yeah, I think they got it going in the right direction here.
Is it my turn? I didn't.
That was the end of the commercial.
Okay. There was nothing at the end. It just kind of stopped, didn't it?
That's like hunger at Back Alley Barbecue. It just stops.
Well, it was about as exciting as ending as.
That is right. Until you get the tapeworms, and then the hunger never stops.
Right.
Okay. Now, let me finish my insult. It's about as exciting as a commercial as the Fly Eagles Fly season is so far. Sitting at 2-7, being hosted by the Iowa Corn Wieners at 4-5. Now, Sam has not adjusted his lineup.
I love the two hole. Oh, who doesn't?
All right. Like I was saying, Corn Wieners have not adjusted their lineup since the ending of week 9. So we've got some holes here in the starting lineup. So we'll kind of work our way through that. This is not the screen I want. Oh, no. Okay.
You had all this time while we were doing our sponsor to get ready.
Yeah, well, no, I have all the screens up. I just now realized that with this current screen, it doesn't show me the bench.
Oh, I thought he was just in shock.
So that's a problem. So what we're going to have at quarterback here in this matchup is the Wieners with Kirk Cousins versus Tua Tagovailoa for the Fly Eagles Fly.
Yeah, two negative matchups here for Tua and Kirk Cousins. You know, I gotta just keep relying on the fact that Tyreek and Waddle are just flat out better than most corners they're gonna go up against. I'm gonna take Tua. But if Minnesota, you know, Buffalo certainly has to shut down Kirk Cousins, and we saw that they really, really started utilizing Hockenson early and often. I think that could be a game changer for him.
Okay. Yeah, yes, I agree with you. The Kirk Cousins looks interesting, and as long as you have him playing at noon, I think you're guaranteed to have a good game out of him. But, you know, Tua in that offense is relatively high-powered, but I'm going to stick with Cousins. I don't know what you did, Tyler. I wasn't really listening to what you said.
Oh, God, I will dollar bet that all day.
What, Cousins, you're going to take Tua?
Cousins, Tua, straight up.
Sure. How do we do on our dollar bets last week? I know we made one.
So we made three total. The first one was Rob bet that Khalil Herbert and Gerald Everett would outscore Tyler Lockett and Curtis Samuel. Tyler Lockett outscored the two of them combined.
Yeah.
So that didn't go well. Then Blake and I made two separate bets, including Jalen Hurts. I had Tua +5.5. He won outright over Jalen Hurts, and I had Justin Herbert +5.5, and he was behind Jalen Hurts by 10. So we split there.
Ah, cool.
Just a little food for thought on Cousins. He has not on the road broken 24 points in a game, fantasy points.
Yeah. I'm going with a smooth, I don't give a shit kind of mentality here.
Okay.
Running backs in this matchup. Wieners have Aaron Jones sitting with that questionable tag and currently Ramondre Stevenson in the lineup.
Let's call that Sony Michel because that's the only other option on this
team. That was his pickup, so probably.
Yep, so Aaron Jones and Sony Michel, it's not encouraging versus – I'm not sure what the questionable tag on Damian Pierce is, but we've also got Deonta Foreman with the Eagles fly.
He sat out with a chest and upper shoulder thing. It was nothing to be concerned about. They just wanted to rest in Wednesday.
Yeah, Deonta Foreman is a smash play. Although Chuba Hubbard does look like he's going to be back this week. But we know that that doesn't largely impact Foreman's workload because it's been Raheem Blackshear has been in there anyway. Damian Pierce, I don't like this week at all. He's facing one of the best run defenses in the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
As it stands, but Dallas has significantly upgraded their run defense with the addition of Jonathan Hankins. But I think if Green Bay is going to stay in it, they're going to have to pass a ton to Aaron Jones. Plus, that keeps the pass rush off of them. As it stands right now, just because there's basically a nothing in the RB2 slot and Sony Michel, give me Pearson Foreman.
Yeah, even I think it's Pearson Foreman for sure, no questions. I mean, Aaron Jones has that question tag coming in. Yeah, the X-rays were positive for him. You know, good news. I don't, even if Dallas is behind here, I don't see him being used like he normally is. Receivers, Justin Jefferson and Jacoby Myers, who's on bye. So, I mean, there's a lot of options this team has to throw in for an wide receiver too, alongside Justin Jefferson. So we can talk about that a little bit later. But Fly Eagles Fly has Michael Pittman at the Raiders and Gabe Davis home against Minnesota.
Wow, this is very gross.
Yeah. True.
I mean, I do not like Justin Jefferson because Bills are very good against the tight end. So I think they just 1v1 Hockenson. Don't give up a ton. Their linebackers are very good. Although, is Matt Milano still out?
I don't know.
Couldn't tell you.
But I think they're going to double Jefferson every single route. Michael Pittman, fine. I mean, you do have Ellinger. This is a, if he can't come right here, he can't come at all situation for Ellinger against Vegas, who is just nothing against the pass. And I have to do the bumper.
If he can't come right here, he can't come at all. So,
but if he's going to be successful, then Pittman's going to be successful. Like I said, I don't like Gabe Davis, especially if Allen isn't playing. I think it's going to be all Stephon Diggs all day. So, I mean, as it stands right now, give me Jefferson and question mark.
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably be Jefferson and Tyler Lockett. Moving into the wide receiver two spot here.
Oh, which, I was looking at the bench to fill the wide receiver two slot, but either way.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at Lockett and Jefferson, and I like that a lot better. So I agree, Tyler. Tight ends. Tyler Conklin's on a bye for the corn wieners, so we're looking at Mike Gesicki.
Yep.
Tyler, I have eyes, and I am reading. I did go to school. Good job. Several times.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Not long enough, evidently, but go for it.
I went to like three different schools, four different schools, depending on what you kind of school.
Well, that's because losing your helmet in between classes.
Mike Gesicki is playing home against Cleveland versus George Kittle home against the Chargers for Eagles Fly. I'm going to go with Kittle.
Yeah. I mean, definitely both of these tight ends have bad matchups, but Kittle is more part of that offense.
Kittle is more better. Flex. So let's see. I'm going to say let's move Tyler Lockett into that wide receiver two. So we're looking at Curtis Samuel and a question mark here. I don't know.
Let's just call it one of Keenan Allen or Allen Lazard. Let's hope that one of them plays.
Yeah, if Allen Lazard plays, he's in this lineup for sure.
Yeah.
Which he should. There's no reason he shouldn't play. I don't think he had any major injury last week. He's just been dealing with the same, being banged up. So let's go Curtis Samuel and Allen Lazard versus Kareem Hunt and Drake London.
Yeah, this is easy for me. This is London and Kareem Hunt. Like I said, I think Miami's going to be up. I think this is a Kareem Hunt game more than it is a Nick Chubb game. And Drake London, again, you know, Carolina's not great against receiver, but you're going to need one of his catches to be a touchdown. But I mean, Curtis Samuel has been good in kind of that gadget role. But I believe since Heineke's been in, they've started going away from him. No, I mean, still double digits the last 3 weeks. He just kind of had that lull from week four to week six. So, you know, you think you're going to get double digits there. I think this is going to be close, but I'm going to give it to Hunt in London.
I think London is, even if somehow Atlanta's down, They're not going to throw the ball as much as you'd want them to. London's going to get you maybe 4 points, maybe 5 points max. Give me Samuel and Lazard.
2 weeks ago against the same Carolina team, he was at 7. And that was like 4 for 50, 4 for 51. No. What did I just see? That was 4 for 31.
Okay. Yeah. Give me Lazard and Samuel for sure. Guaranteed. Defense. Rams home against Arizona and the Giants home against Houston for Eagles fly.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go the Giants here. The big question mark, Xavier McKinney was put on IR after an ATV incident off the field. Mm-hmm. So they're stud safety. It's really a question mark of how this defense is going to respond without him. We know that if you lose one of those big guys in the back end, that can certainly very much hinder a defense, especially in the pass game. But I'm still going to go Giants here. I toyed with them in my initial DFS lineup, but I didn't think the juice was worth the squeeze.
Alrighty, so looking at the bench here, we pretty much talked through all of Corn Wiener's options because he has so many people on by and is starting to line up. Tyler, are there any other gems on this bench that you might think about working into a lineup, like maybe Bobby Trees against Denver?
Absolutely not. Denver is number one against quarterbacks and wide receivers. Obviously, a lot of that is when they had Bradley Chubb and could get to the quarterback a little bit better. But no, I don't want any passing options on Tennessee, especially with either a hobbled Tannehill or Malik Willis. This is the Yeti all day, every day, and they're going to go as the Yeti goes. The only thing I potentially look at, you know, Marvin Jones against Kansas City, he has been involved in this offense. You have the goose potential for sure. But if he doesn't goose, he's probably going to put up about 10 points. So that's not the worst thing in the world if you need a flyer.
I was going to bring up the Cardinals defense instead of the Rams in the same game. Cardinals, you know, they scored a touchdown last week. Granted, they gave up a few points, but Matt Stafford may not play. Even if he does, he's good for a couple of turnovers.
Yeah, Rams' second best matchup against opposing defenses. However, Cardinals are without Buda Baker, so you're in the same situation. I do think between Rams and Cardinals, I'm probably playing Cardinals.
Alrighty, Rob.
At that point, it would flip for me. Sorry.
All right, Rob. What are you thinking about your team, your bench?
Well, I'm wishing that Kansas City would just like play a guy. Unfortunately, they're spreading the thing out too much. So I have two Kansas City guys that are doing nothing that you can't start any. So that's a thing. I guess I would start Dylan if, for whatever reason, Aaron Jones didn't play. So that'd be kind of an obvious play. And then he'd go in instead of probably London. I probably would put London up and not play Gabe Davis. Just again, depending on if his quarterback played or not. And I might go to a different defense. There's all kinds of defenses that have okay matchups. I picked the Giants. I did forget about the safety, to be clear, to be fair. I was going to try to stick with Kansas City, but I don't know that I like them against Jacksonville. They're not as – I'm just going to hop from defense to defense after Tampa Bay sorely disappointed me the last 8 weeks. So,
and just a reminder, because I see it in Rob's lineup, we haven't talked about it in a while. Get your Thursday night players out of your flex.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Rob, let's go with you first here. Who are you taking?
I mean, not me.
It's kind of a tough one. I mean,
I'm not going to take me. I mean, it doesn't matter. I did beat the Wieners earlier in the year. And I mean, it looks like I'm going to beat him now, but that's because he's got, if you look at it, I'm only ahead by like 30. And that's because he's got three people that have zeros. So you put those in, those people are at least going to give him 10 apiece based on projection. So he'll be projected to beat me no matter who he puts in. I have not been good. My guys are underperforming. I'm 2-7 for crying out loud. I'm going to be 2-8. I lose.
All right. I'm going to go. I wanted to give it to you, Rob. I really did.
I did too. But I went into this going to pick me, and I changed my mind after we went through the lineups.
Yeah. As I'm looking down this lineup, and I'm like, okay, I gave Wieners a win there. Gave the Wieners a win there and there and there and there. Oh, shit. It's going to be Wieners. Uh-oh.
I mean, the worst thing for the Wieners going is that he has bad matchups. He doesn't have like a receiver from a team that seems to be driving itself over the cliff with Pittman. He doesn't have maybe a quarterback
who can't. I mean, he is going to play Sony Michel, which it'll be a miracle if he breaks 5 points.
Okay, that would be a thing.
That's the only thing I'm looking at is he is. Whereas you've had the unfortunate, like, they play the whole game and they goose, or they play the whole game and they go 2 points. Yes. Like, he has almost a guaranteed goose in his lineup, no matter what.
Yeah.
So with that, I'm going Eagles fly. I just don't think that I don't think it's very difficult to overcome that.
All right, who's got dice this week?
Yeah, that seems like a Rob problem if you don't.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, mine are behind me somewhere.
I mean, I got it right here. So
what kind of dice we using this week, Rob?
Oh, we're going with the 20 cider because if we play 20 games, I'd lose 20 of them. So here we go. And the 20 cider is a, God, read it. Oh, God, I'm so blind. I think it's a 13.
It seems like maybe, okay.
It's a 13.
It seems like maybe we should use a different dice going forward. Something you should read.
No, it was just in the light wrong. 13.
Okay. Our next matchup is the Fantasy Reapers sitting at 4-5 versus Scary Terry sitting at 3-6. Did Scary Terry come off a win last week? I don't remember.
No, he won the week before.
Okay. So currently, the Reapers are projected to win 163 to 122. It's going to be a shellacking. That's a new word. Put it in the dictionary.
I love it.
Reapers are going to be starting Justin Fields against Detroit. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Trevor Lawrence actually has a plus matchup at Kansas City for Scary Terry, but I don't think there's a question here on who's going to be able to take this matchup here.
Oh, I mean, yeah, Trevor Lawrence might have to throw a lot to keep up with Kansas City, but Detroit doesn't stop the run, and boy, Justin Fields is coming off a $178, so, you know, yeah, let's keep going.
Alrighty, running backs. Got Saquon Barkley against Houston and Kenneth Walker at Tampa Bay versus Terry with Leonard Fournette against Seattle and David Montgomery against Detroit.
So this one's pretty easy. Barkley, we already kind of talked earlier how he's playing against Houston, who's really, really bad against the run. Barkley could have a mixing day, like Tyler said. And Kenneth Walker, usually you'd be like, oh, Tampa Bay, you can't run against them. No, they've been giving it up the middle, like a senior on prom night. It's been really, really, really bad. So give me Walker over. Even though Montgomery's going against Detroit, Fournette, they're trying to replace him with Rashid White in the coming
weeks. Does it affect anything being the Seattle-Tampa Bay game is in Germany this week?
So there's actually news there, and I don't know if you guys saw it. There was a report on Monday that Kenneth Walker does not have a passport yet. So there is a potential, if he can't get one, that he will not be traveling.
Oh, boy.
So obviously we're predicting this based on he is traveling, but yeah, that is a potential problem. But yeah, that is the Germany game.
Wow. So yeah, that would be a thing, but figure that out.
that's also Leonard Fournette playing out in Germany in the same running back matchup here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Barkley and Walker.
Okay. Receivers. The Fantasy Reapers have Jalen Waddle and DeAndre Hopkins versus Scary Terry with Deebo Samuel and DK Metcalf in that Germany game.
I mean, for me, this is just a case of Deebo and Metcalf can win this matchup. Will they? I don't know. They haven't been consistent this year. Waddle has and Hopkins has. So I got to go with the consistent guys that I know will produce. So give me Waddle and Hopkins.
I agree. Waddle and Hopkins. Deebo, with the changes that have happened to that San Francisco offense, 25 on the year, wide receiver? And at this point last year, I think he had to have been like number six, number four, somewhere in there.
Yeah, but yeah, he got hurt that first game CMC was there and then didn't play the week after.
Right. And that's the big problem for him going forward is – you know, he was drafted high, thought of as a top receiver, not just because of his receiving, but because of the rushing and receiving. And with CMC there, it takes some of that luster away. And he'll still be fine, but he's just he's going to be up and down. He's not going to be as consistent as he was last year.
Yeah. As I mean, just kind of going off the cuff here, I know who's in my consideration for the year end. If you're having it right now, year end draft or fantasy disappointment.
Debo.
It does look like on a per game basis, Debo is 17 rather than that 25 number.
Okay. Let's say you spent the 12 overall pick for him and your wide receiver 17. That's disappointing.
Right, right. And literally every game has been under or 15 or less except one.
Yeah.
You had one smash week and the rest has been disappointing.
Tight ends, we got Kyle Pitts at Carolina and Zach Ertz at the Rams.
This is easy at Zach Ertz. He's the number 3-4 tight end on the year in fantasy.
Number three.
There you go. So yeah, give me Zach Ertz.
Yes, go Zach Ertz. Go, go, go. Flex, CeeDee Lamb and Christian McCaffrey for the Reapers versus DJ Moore and Juju Smith-Schuster for Terry.
So this is easy because McCaffrey's in there and DJ Moore, you're either going to get something in the teens or you're going to get three. Really hard to tell.
Juju has not been bad.
Two weeks ago against Atlanta was when DJ Moore had his 38-point outing.
Yeah, I mean, it can happen. And Walker or PJ Walker, is that his name?
Yep.
Is still going to start. By the way, if Baker was starting, I would say 100% no would DJ Moore have a good game. The Smith-Schuster is going to be consistent. He's going to be good because I think I heard this earlier today. The more that people see MVS, the more they want to throw to Schuster. So, but it's McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, Juju only two games this year under 8 targets.
Yeah.
Yeah, Juju's been very productive out there in Kansas City. Defense. We have the Saints at Pittsburgh versus the Bengals currently on bye. There is no other defense on this roster currently.
Yeah, so they'll be picking somebody up, I assume.
One would hope.
He doesn't have to. He wants to keep that defense.
So generally, so with the Saints, I like the Saints defense better at home than I do on the road. So that's number one. Number two is, however, playing against Pittsburgh, we have seen that the rookie turns the ball over at a pretty amazing clip. And we already talked about how their Najee is not running the ball well, and Warren might be taking more of it. In fact, a beat writer said that this might be Warren's backfield by the end of the year as far as getting more of the snaps. So, yeah, it's I don't hate the Saints.
All right, so let's talk about Terry's options here, looking at the waiver wire. The top three defenses as far as projected points go, looking at the Bucs against Seattle, all these teams are at home, 49ers against the Chargers, Dolphins against Cleveland, and then there's also the Colts in there at Vegas. Yeah. Vikings at Buffalo, I don't know if Josh Allen's not playing, we might look at that.
Yeah. I mean, what were the first two you gave me?
First two I gave you were Bucks against Seattle or Niners against the Chargers.
I mean, both have some allure and both have reasons not to trust them. I mean, Tampa Bay was good earlier in the year. They haven't been good recently, so I don't know. But against Seattle, they could turn the ball over. They're not exactly – they haven't been prolific recently like they were earlier in the year. Same goes with – so the Chargers had their own struggles. You know, and have turned the ball over a little bit. San Francisco is way better earlier in the year. Their last three games, they've scored defensively for, in our league, like under 7 a game. So, which is why they got dropped.
4, 5, and 6. So this is their 7 week.
Yeah. So you could take a shot at one of them. And maybe this is the week their defense has turned it around, but it's hard to depend on it.
All righty. Benches, Rob, let's break down Scary Terry and his options here. Let's see. Darnell Mooney is the name that sticks out at me. You know, he's been getting a lot of attention, especially as this Bears offense opens up a little bit. I mean, 12, 17 points the last 2 weeks when Justin Fields has started kind of getting into the groove of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
you have to have steel underpants to play him over your four wide receiver options currently.
Yeah, DJ Moore probably is the weakest part of this starting lineup.
He also has literally the best matchup in the league.
You would kill yourself knowing that he scored over 30 the last time he played this team. It's the same thing I went through. Like, you know, do I play Dante Foreman? He's coming up. You know, he got game scripted out when, you know, Mixon 35-0 the first half. You know, because he's not their passing back or anything. But if I benched him, you know, when they played Atlanta, he had like 30 some points himself. So, yeah, exactly. You just can't.
All right, Tyler, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not playing Kadarius Toney yet. I want to see him continue to get acclimated into this offense. I want to see what they use him for. To me, this is one thing and one thing alone, and it's Jonathan Taylor put in a limited practice on Wednesday. And it's a case where Vegas is kind of bad all around. And if all of a sudden if Indy gets Jonathan Taylor back behind a Jeff Saturday, who we know he's an offensive lineman, he wants to run the damn ball. So, I mean, I don't know. It makes it easy. If Kenneth Walker doesn't travel, then obviously, okay, then Jonathan Taylor flips in there and cool. As it stands right now, I don't know who I would bench for Jonathan Taylor. And that's the difficulty I have. It might be a luxury for me to see kind of what happens there.
Yeah. I am continuously surprised that your team is reflected by the record you have.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Meaning, when looking at your team, it's crazy that you're only 4-5.
Well, to be fair, he had quarterback troubles. Like, he had no quarterback until he found Justin Fields last week.
Right, but your team's sitting there with Saquon Barkley, Ken Walker, Waddle.
I also have losses. I have two losses at 145 and 150, which immediately makes that a 6-3 record if those are wins, which normally in our league those are. So, you know, two tough luck losses. I'm not going to be too upset about them.
Yeah, all right, so I had two of those too.
Let's take this one, Tyler. Let's go dice first, actually, Rob.
Dice first. All right. 16 for the dice.
They are going Terry.
There you go.
And then Tyler, I think.
Yeah, I just have to go myself here. I don't know
how you don't.
Outside of Ertz and Montgomery, I don't see where I'm at least competitive, if not significantly favored, at every single other position.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard to go against somebody who's projected to 163. Even if Ken Walker doesn't travel and Jonathan Taylor doesn't play, that is a huge issue for you. But as we're sitting down with your Reapers.
Yeah, me too. Dice are on an island.
All right. The Kegerator. No, the Testicle T is hosting the Kegerator. T sitting at 1-8. Kegerator at 6-3. Currently, the Kegerator has this matchup by 40 points, 119 to 160. That's not great.
It isn't the best.
Testicle T has Daniel Jones against Houston at quarterback versus Derek Carr against Indianapolis for Keg. He's finally starting Derek Carr by necessity.
Right?
No, this is easy for me. Like I said, Houston is, I'm not going to say very good against the quarterback, but they are a very bad matchup because you can just run the ball so much. You know, we could see Daniel Jones with like the Marcus Mariota workload, right? Where he passes the ball 14 times and that's it. So this is very easy for me. Give me Derek Carr.
Yeah, I agree. It's Carr.
One thing that is maybe a potential boon with the running potential against Houston is Daniel Jones is a scrambler. He does run more than you think he would. I'm fairly certain I'm not talking on my ass here. It's not unheard of for Daniel Jones to get over 100 yards rushing in this year.
He's had that once, but he's had over 50 a couple of times. Yeah. I mean, he averages like, you know, 20 or 30, something like that. But, you know, I haven't watched his game super closely because why would I watch the Giants? But, you know, I think a lot of those are on rollouts, play action, stuff like that. And like I said, I just don't think they're going to have to do that.
Yeah, these quarterbacks are 17th and 18th respectively on the year ranked with quarterbacks in our league. Alrighty, running backs here. Cordarrelle Patterson and Dalvin Cook for T versus Austin Eckler and Alvin Kamara, who trounced on me last week.
I mean, yeah, Patterson had a good game, right, last week in his return. I'm not sure I like Cook against Buffalo. You got to go Eckler and Kamara, don't you?
Call it a bukkake because Cordarrelle Patterson is coming on this week.
Oh, God.
Give me Patterson and Cook.
Oh, boy. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
All righty. Receivers here. I'm on Ross St. Brown at Chicago and Adam Thielen, questionable at Buffalo versus Tyreek Hill against Cleveland and Stephon Diggs against Minnesota.
Yeah, move on.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's Hill and Diggs. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, pass.
I was going the other way. What are you talking about?
I'm kidding. That's sarcasm. I do like Amon-Ra's matchup at Chicago. Like we said before, this is probably going to be a high-scoring game. And Amon-Ra is almost always open in the Detroit offense. So
let me check something quick because the sheet that I have, Chicago's actually been very good against wide receivers. However, I'm not sure what that did the last 2 weeks. Okay, so Dallas's wide receivers only went 9 for 126 and 1. But Miami's obviously went 17 for 278 and 2. I mean, this is not a good matchup for Detroit, surprisingly. Well, at least their receivers.
Yeah, sure. According to the Stat Monkey, according to the Heart, I like Detroit this week.
Congrats.
Tight end. Greg Dulcich is at Tennessee versus Kegerator with Darren Waller's in this lineup. I would get him out of this lineup.
Oh, heck yes. I mean, based on what you're saying, it's Dulcich.
Give me whoever Kegerator starts, whether it's Waller or whether it's Evan Ingram, because Evan Ingram has a plus matchup against Kansas City.
All right. Ingram carrying a questionable tag as well.
When in his career has he not been questionable?
I don't know. It says back injuries day to day, it seems.
It does seem that way.
Okay. And they're both Sunday noon games. So flex, Jamal Williams at Chicago and DeAndre Swift at Chicago. Interesting move. Bold move, testicle T.
This sure is the last place team, isn't it?
Yeah.
Devonta Smith with against Washington or Travis Etienne at Kansas City for Keg.
Bye-bye. I mean, the only thing I'll say about this is if you're going to play one of the Detroit running backs, it's Jamal Williams easily. But no, this is Smith and Etienne easily.
Right. 100%.
Yeah. Okay. Defense, Jags at Kansas City or the Bills against Minnesota?
Jags easy.
Jags easy?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I was thinking it was Kansas City versus the Jags. I'm dumb. No, this is the Bills. Easy. Sorry. In my brain, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, Kansas City has a pretty good defense. They're up against, you know, Trevor Lawrence. He likes to turn the ball over every once in a while. No. Yeah, this is the Bills.
Yeah. Boy, if you could have seen the camera, both me and Rob just kind of looked away from what we were looking at, looked directly at the Zoom screen. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right I knew now? I made a big old whoopsie when I got that look.
All right, sure. I'm gonna stick me and Tyler onto the Testicle Tease team. Yeah, Tyler, I'm forcing you to look at this monstrosity.
That's fine. There is one significant move that I would make immediately. Tyler Higbee has to be in your lineup. Arizona is that team that can't cover the fucking tight end, and Higbee has to be in there this week. And I would play him over Swift. I would play both Dulcich and Higbee here. Other than that, I mean, if Cooks plays,
Where do you sit on Tom Brady, Tyler, over Daniel Jones?
Yeah, I would do it. I know it's gross, but I would do it. I just I there is zero upside with Daniel Jones, I think, this week. But I mean, obviously, if Taylor doesn't play, you could flip Deion Jackson in. You could play with toy with Cole Kmet if you wanted. Like I said, Brandon Cooks, if he plays, you could toss him in there. I have no confidence in Swift. He only played what, 11% of snap slots last week, something like that. You can't play him until proven otherwise. I'm sorry.
All right.
And Thielen might not play this week either.
Rob, what are we looking at on the kegerator's bench? I mean, this team's pretty freaking stacked in their starting lineup as it is.
Yeah, there's nothing he can really do, or that I would do.
I want to throw Deontay Johnson coming off the bye against New Orleans over Devonta Smith.
Here's the only thing. Is that
Washington is big bad against receivers.
Devonta Smith, I mean, they had their bye and then 5 for 23 and then 2 for 22 the last two games.
That's
eight targets and two targets. I mean,
I just the problem Devonta Smith has, he has an AJ Brown problem, right? If AJ Brown and Dallas Goedert get all the love, then he doesn't really get much. So I get that. And why you would look elsewhere, why take the, what in essence is the number three option on a really good team for the number one option on a kind of shitty team. And so I get that. But the fact is, if Devonta Smith comes through, he comes through big. And all Deontay Johnson is going to get you is maybe a better floor.
Also, I mean, I would rather play Rondale Moore over Deontay Johnson every day. I was
just going to say that, Tyler. I was just looking at Rondale Moore. I think Rondale Moore is the absolute play over Devonta Smith, especially for the kegerator sitting where you are now in such a overdog kind of situation. Play for the floor that Rondale Moore is going to give you instead of Devonta Smith.
Yeah, so we saw coming out of Purdue that Rondale Moore was like this 5'7 receiver that was just explosive as all get out. But he was never going to be an outside guy, right? He's like, it's generous to call him 5'7, like how Darren Sproles was listed at 5'9 his entire career when he was probably more like 5'5. No, they're using Rondale Moore correctly now that D Hop is back, and you can see it in his fantasy scoring when they use him correctly and when they don't.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about Moore as an owner in another league. I saw the injury to his hand, and they didn't even talk about it on Red Zone. And then I saw it today, and it's like, oh, the whoever was reporting is like, oh, Rondale Moore popped up on the injury report with a hand injury. And I'm like, yeah, I fucking saw it, you dumb idiots. I'm a little concerned about it because as a pass catcher, you know, what is the hand injury? Is it just is it just like sore, like a contusion? Is there a bone issue, a ligament issue? I'm a little concerned about that myself. But if he plays, then yes, I get that. That's why I didn't bring him up, though, because I worried about that injury.
So I think we're all three are taking kegerator in this matchup. I think that's given. Rob, why don't you just tell us what the dice are saying?
By the way, we didn't get a recap on what
we're at. I figured we could do that after we go through the Shockers matchup before we hit our outro.
Well, the dice is crazy this week. They got a 9. They're going with the T.
All right. Solid. All right, next matchup is, here's Tubby hosting at, or they're at 6-3, hosting the Backdoor Hot Snakes at 5-4. Currently, Tubby is projected to win 138-132. It's actually a close one, guys.
Very close.
Tubby has Jalen Hurts against Washington versus my questionable Josh Allen against Minnesota.
Yeah, this becomes easy for me with Allen having his injury. Give me Jalen Hurts here.
Yeah, Washington's not good, and with the injury to Allen, you got to go Hurts. First time all year, I will go against Josh Allen.
Okay, running backs: Josh Jacobs against Indianapolis and Raheem Mostert against Cleveland versus Derrick Henry against Denver and Devin Singletary against Minnesota.
Oh, more. Yeah, so
both Jacobs and Singletary with negative matchups here. Obviously, Jacobs has been much, much better this year, so give me Jacobs there. Between Mostert and Henry, Mostert has a good matchup, and Henry has a negative matchup. But like we said, it's going to be Derrick Henry all day. And if he doesn't get it done, then they're not going to get it done. So give me Henry. Give me Henry and Singletary here in a close one.
Yeah, I like Henry and Singletary, especially with Mostert ceding some carries to Jeff Wilson now. That's kind of, you know, it looked like this was going to be Mostert's thing after they got rid of can't think of his name during the trade deadline.
Edmonds.
Yeah. Once they got rid of Edmonds, you're like, oh, this is going to be the Mostert show. Nope. Bring Wilson in. And it's pretty much a true 50-50. They don't care in Miami who runs the ball, to be fair.
I do want to raise a question as far as Devin Singletary goes. Let's say Josh Allen doesn't play this week. Does the running game get moved up for Buffalo?
Oh, hell yes.
So does Singletary move up, or do they do a more RB, you know, by committee? Do they still try to go, you know, balls deep with the passing game?
No, I think they'll try to run more. I think Singletary would get a bump if Allen doesn't play, yes.
Guys, what you guys aren't factoring in, if Josh Allen doesn't play, we have a double revenge game. Case Keenum and Stephon Diggs playing their old team. This is the easiest bet of my entire lifetime if Josh Allen doesn't play. Because the odds are going to be juiced because they're not going to have their quarterback. Oh, give me the Bills.
Alrighty.
No one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Receivers here.
Just not good on the road.
Tubby has Devontae Adams against Indy and Christian Kirk at KC versus Mike Evans against Seattle and Josh Palmer at San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this is easy, Evans and Palmer. I'm going to talk about it again. I just have no idea what to do with Indy, anything in Indy this week with everything changing. Obviously, the defensive coordinator didn't get replaced. It was mainly the offensive side. Adams is great. I think Kirk is a great play this week, but I have no idea. Is Jeff Saturday going to go cover him up? However, we do have proof that Jeff Saturday has Devontae Adams on his fantasy roster.
We're on our second to last matchup.
Thanks, Blake. Thanks for that. I'm glad that he does not know where the mute button is before he left.
It's muted.
Well, I just muted him. I have the power to do that.
Oh, I got it.
So anyway, now that Blake is muted because we could hear him shouting, the Devontae Adams is for sure on Jeff Saturday's fantasy roster because he tweeted about it a couple of weeks ago. So, hey, if he's still playing in that fantasy league, Devontae could go for 300 here.
So who are you taking? Because you said – I thought you said Evans and Palmer at first, but you're going Adams and Kirk.
Yeah, I'm really talking myself into Adams and Kirk.
you just went in a circle there. God, I don't know. It really depends on who plays for LA. You know, Palmer did good last week, but I've watched him all year. He got over 100 just because he got peppered with targets. He's not that good, to be fair. And Mike Evans has dropped more passes this year than I've ever seen him drop. I'm going Adams and Kirk. You can unmute yourself.
Blake is still muted, and
you can unmute yourself. You know,
I'm sorry. When Tyler said that he muted me, I thought it was only a host unmute kind of thing.
Oh no, no, no.
Also, that's weird that I wasn't shouting. I was talking normally in a normal voice.
Buddy, we can hear that shit crystal clear.
Yeah, we know we're on the second to last matchup.
Yeah.
Did you hear me say I'm a thirsty boy?
No, because I muted you directly after you said that.
Yeah.
Well, no, I said I'm a thirsty boy, and then I was like, we're on the second to last matchup. So you didn't hear the first part. Okay, tight end. TJ Hockenson is at Buffalo. I've got Dalton Schultz at Green Bay.
I don't like either one of these. I'm working off of the assumption that Matt Milano is still out, and I'm going to take Hockenson, but it would not surprise me either way.
I agree. Dallas hasn't thrown the ball as much as they did last year. So Dalton Schultz's workload is tempered a little bit. I'll take Hockenson, even though I do like the Buffalo defense, even with some people out.
Matt Milano has returned to practice. However, Hockenson's 9-for-70 last week was against the 30th Washington defense. So a bad matchup for tight ends. So I guess I'm not too worried about him. I mean, it's one of those where he, after one game, is he matchup proof in Minnesota? We'll see.
I mean, he is playing
we'll see this week. If he is successful this week, then I think you can consider him matchup proof the rest of the year outside of primetime games, obviously.
Right. All I need out of Dalton Schultz is 10-ish points. And with Dak Prescott, he's gotten 13, 9, and 13. So,
yep, should get 10-ish.
Should get 10-ish. Flex. Jerry Jeudy is at Tennessee, and Brandon Ayuk is home against the Chargers for the Tubbies. I have, like we talked about in our other segment, George Pickens against New Orleans and Cortland Sutton at Tennessee.
So you've got like three number twos and a number one. I guess you can call Sutton a number one, I guess. I mean, this is tough. It just depends how the other ones do. I mean, just based on recent, and I guess,
it's gross.
It is.
And you feel icky if you go with me on this one.
Oh, I feel real icky. So I'm going to have to go Jeudy and Ayuk by like three.
I'm going Pickens and Sutton here.
There you go.
I appreciate it, Tyler. I know you didn't do it for me, but I appreciate it nonetheless. Defenses, Eagles are home against Washington, and the Cowboys are at Green Bay.
I'm going to take, even though the Cowboys do very well and Green Bay's coming off a three-interception game, I just don't believe they'll do that at home. And the Eagles are at home against a Washington team that will turn the ball over. Give me the Eagles here.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Green Bay.
Delayed.
Well, I was thinking there.
normally when you're silent for that long, you don't have a take.
Green Bay always kind of plays well against Dallas, so give me the Eagles, but it's not going to surprise me either way.
All righty. Well, I was going to have the both of you go through Tubby, but Rob left. So, Tyler, why don't you just go through Tubby's bench here?
Yeah, I mean, I think Connor has to be in this game, probably over Ayuk. He came back and got all of the work immediately, which was the concern last week that with Edmund or with Benjamin looking so good, Grigio, that he wouldn't seed all the work, but Connor got it. So you're good to go there. Outside of that, you could take a flyer on Donovan Peoples-Jones. I don't think you're starting him. You're definitely not starting Noah Fant because, I heard he was going to be the target leader in that offense, but he has less than half the targets of the leader, so that's kind of weird. I mean, do you think about Chase Claypool at all? First week in the Bears offense, got six targets, obviously didn't convert a lot of them, but you got a great matchup here against Detroit, and they could be looking to show off the shiny new toy.
Alrighty. As far as my team goes, it's kind of like we talked about earlier. There's a lot of places or a lot of people I can plug into the flex position. I mean, Zay Jones is going to give you around 10 points every week and plus matchup with Kansas City. It's not terrible. Wandale Robinson, I don't think he finds a way into my lineup this week. Tyler Algier, I'm holding on to him, even though Cordero's back. We'll just see what happens with Cordero. Otherwise, obviously Jared Goff goes in if Josh Allen doesn't play. There's not a lot else I can do with this team with just the way it is.
I agree. So, I agree with that.
Let's go original order here. What did I have? Rob go first?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just because of the risk to your quarterback, which is, besides your running back, your strongest piece of your team, I got to go Tubby.
Yep. I have lost all faith in my guys. I'm going Tubby.
Make it three.
And the dice.
And the dice says Tubby.
Ooh.
It's a queen sweep. They went.
All right.
They went a five.
Final matchup. We've got the undefeated Hawaiian Shakas 9-0 versus the 5-4 Fighting Hedgehogs coming off a pretty big week last week. Currently, the Shockers are projected to win 160 to 119. That's the second time we've seen this exact point total, 160 to 119.
That's bad news Bears.
Three teams projected in the 160s this week, so that's super fun. Patrick Mahomes for the Shockers against Jacksonville versus Kyler Murray at the Rams for the Hogs.
I mean, Patty. Yeah, come on.
Yep, easy. Running backs, Nick Chubb at Miami and Jeff Wilson against Cleveland for the Shockers versus Tony Pollard in that Green Bay game and Darrell Henderson Jr. against Arizona for the Hogs.
Yeah, Chubb and Wilson here.
Yeah, it looks like Zeke's going to be back, so Pollard's going to go back to his, 45% role.
Yeah, and the Rams can't run the ball.
Yep.
Alrighty. And Tyler, like you said, well, you even though you picked Chubb and Wilson, you said it very well could be a Kareem Hunt game. But doesn't take too much away from Chubb, though.
No, I mean, I just think that Hunt might have higher upside, but Chubb is going to do what he does, and that's at least what he's only had one game this year under 87 yards.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, this is easy.
Alrighty, receivers. We've got Cooper Kupp against Arizona and Amari Cooper at Miami for the Shockers versus AJ Brown for Washington and Chris Olave at Pittsburgh for the Hogs.
Yeah, Arizona has been surprisingly good at shutting down number one receivers, but we all know that Cooper Kupp is a different story entirely. He had his worst game of the year against Arizona. Amari Cooper is going to be necessary if Cleveland wants to contend in that game. But AJ Brown and Olave have great matchups. Give me Brown and Olave.
Yeah, I tip Brown on Olave just with the concussion news on Stafford. I worry about what a backup does. So,
okay. Tight ends. We've got Kelce stacking with Mahomes against Jacksonville and then Dallas Goedert against Washington.
Well, until proven otherwise, it's always Kelce.
Yeah, both of these guys with bad matchups. So give me the guy who has been the tight end one for the last, half decade?
Yeah, it's insane. He's got to decline sometime, right?
You would sure think so.
It only took Tom Brady until he was 45 to start going downhill. So we'll see what happens with Kelce. Flex, Terry McLaurin at Philly and Miles Sanders against Washington for Shockers versus the Hogs with Chris Godwin against Seattle and Paris Campbell at the Raiders.
I mean, Washington is a decent run defense. I don't think that Sanders is going to be, the focal point of the offense this week. Philly's good against the pass as well, so two bad matchups there for Shockers. Godwin, Seattle's good against the receiver, but you got to think that if Tampa Bay is going to contend, that they're going to have to go through Godwin. And Paris Campbell, who the fuck knows, like we said about Indy.
Right.
Give me McLaurin and Sanders in maybe the worst flex matchup that we've seen so far.
Yeah, I'm going to go McLaurin and Sanders just because either one, even though their matchups aren't great, they can each break one. Godwin has just been kind of used as that underneath receiver. You know, he's going to get peppered with about 8-9 targets. He'll probably get 5 of them for 42. And then Campbell, who the hell knows?
So where this matchup is going to get super interesting as it stands right now is Hedgehogs has AJ Brown and Dallas Goedert on Monday, and Terry has McLaurin and Sanders on Monday night. So what would the score have to be for you to look at this and go, oh boy, I have no idea who's going to win.
If Shockers was only ahead
By 5 to 10
going in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I would think, oh, God, Goddard and Brown, if they have a typical let's load them up, and if you're right that, they don't run a lot and they pass, and it's a Brown and Goddard game, and they decide that they're going to put Slade on McLaurin and he doesn't do squat all game, then yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think
something within 10.
You're gonna want a decent sized lead at the end of Sunday.
Yeah,
All righty, defense in these matchups: Titans against Detroit, or Denver
Or Denver against the Denver Titans.
Against Titans. Which defense in this matchup do you like better?
I mean, they both are very good defensive matchups. They're both, as I looked at defenses, since I was trying to figure out who the hell to play, they're both top six this week. I guess it depends what you think. You know, you got to like Denver coming off a bye, well-rested, and maybe playing against either a Tannehill who might not be as mobile or against Malik Willis who doesn't pass. Or do you like the Broncos who can't seem to run the ball and like to turn it over and get sacked a ton? It's kind of even. I might need Denver a little bit.
Denver a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Rob, why don't you go through the Shaka's bench with me and see if we have any options down here?
I mean,
no. No, I don't know.
I mean, there's one, but you, based on the team you have, there's no reason to take a shot.
No. I mean, I like Terrace Marshall.
I like me some TMJ, baby.
Yeah.
Give me some of that.
Just as a speculative, you know, roster spot, but no, you're not doing anything with him here.
Correct. Now, if it was my team, I would have TMJ in my starting lineup, but that's because my team has diaper rash.
So let me ask you this. You have Jeff Wilson currently in this lineup after he got traded. He came off a 16-point week. I believe that was on the back of a touchdown. Is that right? Yeah, a touchdown through the air.
Yeah.
Do you put in Terrace Marshall on Thursday night? Again, we talked about how you're going to want to be ahead by a good margin Sunday. Do you put in Terrace Marshall, move Sanders up to your running back, and so that you know, hey, I need to play the upside here or I need to play baseline?
I mean, that's certainly a strategy. I would probably do that if I had a closer matchup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I had a closer matchup, I would do that just to see where I have to go. If I've got, you know, got to shoot for the moon, the fact that he's got a 40-point slammer as it is, I'm going to play guys I know are going to at least get me 10 points so that I don't take a goose Rooney. And I believe Wilson will at least get you 10 just based on the usage that his first game there, he gets a 50 split with Mostert. And I think that's the way they want to do it. You know, ex-San Francisco guys, so I would do what he's doing.
So Tyler, for the Hogs, we have hit the bipocalypse for them.
And Cincinnati. This is the bye week at the worst possible time or best possible time, depending on if you're like, well, I'm not going to beat them anyway, so fine. I would love to lose this one and then, you know, be full squad the rest of the way. But yeah, I mean, there is nothing you can do here. You're riding this week out and hoping.
Yeah. Mac Hollins or Paris Campbell?
Paris Campbell.
Yeah, Campbell. Yep.
Okay. That's all I got. Let's go, Tyler. Well, fuck, we're all taking the shotguns. Rob, what's the dice saying?
Whoops. I bumped it and it rolled. So we re-roll, we get an even.
That's the Hogs.
Go down. So
just an update from last week. Rob went 5-0 last week. Blake and I went 4-1, and the dice, contrarians as they are, went 1-4.
There you go. Terrible. Hey, is that the first undefeated week?
Of this
probably,
year.
Probably, actually.
Of this
just
year? Because
this week has been so weird.
This year has
looking. Yeah, I mean, our averages would certainly... Oh, the dice went 5-0 in week 5.
Oh boy.
Good job, Dice. Proud of you.
Alrighty. I got nothing else to add, guys. Let's everybody have a good week 10.
Oh, I have one more thing. We're going into Tyler's hot take corner.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Looking at some future matchups. Shaka's obviously this week has the Fighting Hedgehogs. Next week they have me. In 3 weeks, they have Rob, or in 2 weeks. Yeah. My hot take, Shaka's win this week and next and lose to Fly Eagles Fly in 2 weeks. And that is their lone loss in the regular season.
Impossible.
That's what I'm giving you.
Oh, God.
And if anybody wants to, what would you guys give that for odds? Because of what? Three-leg parlay, two favorites and an underdog. What, 20-1?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I'll offer that up. I give you $1 if you win, you give me 20 if I win. That. But that requires all three legs to hit for me.
Yeah, you'd have to go win-win or yeah, win-win loss. Yeah.
Yep, for Shaka's. Anybody? Bueller?
No.
All right. Well, I'm offering that up to the podcast as well.
All right.
Text Venmo me $1.
Yeah, and, Venmo Tyler $1.
Well, or no. Terrible bad. But yeah. Yeah, let me know.
All right. All right, guys. Let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Have a good week, everyone. Huey Lewis plays out.